And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Obviously, our text this morning is going to be John chapter 9. It's a great chapter of the Bible, long chapter. And as I mentioned several weeks ago, all these Sundays of Lent are these narratives of Jesus dealing with one person. Recall a couple of weeks ago, Jesus and Nicodemus. And last week, Jesus and the woman at the well. And today, Jesus and a man born blind. I love this text because there's so many passages of the Bible that talks about Jesus healing many people, right? It says they brought all kinds of people with various diseases to Jesus and he healed them, right? And it just many, many healings. But this chapter focuses in on the life of one man and focuses in, I think, what you have to describe as the dislocation, right, of a miracle coming to this man's life. And the narrative is about Jesus and the man. There's lots of people, of course, in the periphery saying and doing a variety of things. It's really about Jesus and this one man. Now, I want us to look in detail at the text because it's just such a wonderful event. And right away, I want us to notice that Jesus corrects a common misunderstanding. Because this man has been blind since the day he was born. He's sitting by the city gate and begging. And what do the disciples say? Who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin to cause his blindness? And thanks be to God, Jesus said, neither this man sinned nor his parents sin to cause this. And it's just so wonderful that he corrects this terrible misunderstanding. People read hardship that comes into their life. And I would say this, not just back then, but even now, people tend to read hardship and think, why did this happen? Why is God punishing me? I kid you not, as a pastor, I have visited people in the hospital, and I've literally, in the 21st century, had people say to me, what did I do to deserve this? And the answer from Jesus is nothing. Life is full of these sorts of things. In this particular case, he said this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And at some level, he's challenging us. We all have to wrestle with interpreting what's going on. But we cannot say that if you succeed, it's God's blessing, and if you suffer, it's God's punishment. That's not Pastor Walt, that's Jesus talking. Neither this man sinned, right? It just, and by the way, it's the disciples think it. Later on, the Pharisees say the same thing to the man. He was born blind, you were steeped in sin from your birth. They're wrong. Now, I want us to notice, Jesus says that quick thing, and then the text says just a little bit about the miracle, and we want to be clear about this. It's kind of disgusting, right? Jesus spits into the dirt and rubs the mud in his eyes. And then he says to him, prudently, go and wash. I mean, that's what I would do. If you put mud in my face, I will go wash it off. But I want us to notice, Jesus, as he so often does, works through physical means. Isn't that a depiction of the sacraments, where God uses simple elements to say, I'm going to work. And funny enough, we had a baptism last night at church. Go and wash, right? And he's healed. It just said very simply, he washes and he sees. And the next thing I want us to pick up from this text is there's an immediate difference of opinion over whether it was real or not. You would think that everybody has known this man for years. And you would also think that they would rejoice. This guy's been blind his whole life. He's been healed. Thanks be to God. And some people say, that's the man. And some people say, what? That ain't him. It looks like him. It's always the case that some people, when they see God at work, are going to argue whether it's real or not, right? And they're saying, we don't believe it. Maybe it's a setup. Maybe it's phony. It's not him. And isn't that the case that people always have a division of opinion over anything? The church has been proclaiming for 2,000 years that in Jesus you have full and free forgiveness of all your sins. Jesus, the crucified and risen one, has covered every sin. And some people say, I don't think it works like that. Or some people will say, well, every religion, right, is basically true. And we say, no, we're not saying that. We're saying in Christ is the free and full forgiveness of sins. I know not another name, right, in Christ. But they were divided, and so it is. There's always a division. Now, people are divided in discussing who comes in next. Our old friends, the Pharisees, the legalists, the people who come in and check the letter of the law and make sure they did everything right. And lo and behold, Jesus did this miracle on a Sabbath. Again, the answer should be, this blind man sees. How terrific is that? And the Pharisees come in and say, but he healed on the Sabbath. This can't be from God. Now, here's what I love in this text. We usually think, well, the Pharisees said whatever they were thinking, and everybody just, you know, laid down and played dead in front of the Pharisees. Actually, people answer the Pharisees. Isn't that awesome? I say this as someone who loves a good argument, as you guys know. I want us to know this, that my sister's nodding yes when I said that. What's up with that? Just because we've known each other 60 years, is that what you're saying? You've experienced this personally. Yes. She has. Anyway, the point of the text is that it's okay to argue. I mean, rightly and appropriately, right? Not angrily. But it's funny, the Pharisees say Jesus has committed a sin because he broke the Sabbath, and there's people who literally, and it's an argument, right? The people say, if this man were not from God, how could he do this? That's great. Now, they're talking about all that, and then they bring in his parents. And they say, is this your son? Was he born blind? And how did he see? And I want us to notice this. There are times that God is at work in your life, and people around you might stand apart and aloof from it. Because the parents, fearing what might happen in society if they take the side of Jesus, they say, that is our son. He was born blind, but how he got his vision back, we don't know. We're done talking about it. Right? And he's thinking, thanks, Mom and Dad, right? Okay. Now, here's a couple things I want us to notice. It's a great text. Next part of my outline, I have this. And I'm not sure what other word I want to use, so I'm going to say it this way. The man's growing testiness with the opposition. I hope as people heard that long reading, they were kind of smiling inside as you heard the text developing, right? That the man first responds kind of matter of fact. How did you get your sight back? The man named Jesus put mud on my eyes. I washed it. Now I see, right? Just matter of fact. And they keep going at him. How did this happen? And he explains it again calmly. But then if you notice, if you stay with the text, he starts to get a little irritable. That's normal. That's okay, right? We can do that a little bit. So here, right, verses 9 to 11, he just describes it. Verse 15 just plain describes it. And in verse 24, they say, we know this man is a sinner. And now he's kind of had enough. And I love this phrase. He says, sinner or not, I know this. I was blind and now I see. Isn't that awesome? Are you allowed to argue for the sake of Christ? This text says you are. Sometimes it is your job to stand up for the truth. Sometimes it is your job to speak the truth into this world. And if people have an answer to you, sometimes it's your job to have an answer to that answer. Right? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know it worked in my life, right? That's a great answer. Now, you would think they'd be done with him, but they ask him again, what did he do? And this time he is actually irritable. He says, I've already told you and you didn't listen. Are you trying to become his disciples too? That's great. Now, As I said, we speak the truth of Christ into the world. And some people rejoice to hear it. And some people want to argue. And you know what you're going to do? Answer. Right? Respectfully, he's not angry, he's not bitter, he's not vulgar. But it is our job to speak the truth of Christ into the world. And there's always going to be division, and some people receive it and some people don't. But we're not going to back down so quick. I love the man hanging in there, and everybody has been calling him a sinner. And at the very end, he makes very deep theological points when he says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, and this man healed me. Right? That's great stuff. Now, that's one thing. I want to put that on one side. The man's growing testiness. But I want to catch this other thing. The man's growing statement of faith. You saw it in the text. I'll point out the verses. But it's literally a growing comprehension of who Jesus is. Verse 11, they said, who healed you? And his words, verse 11, the man they called Jesus. Who healed him? The man. Okay. Verse 17, they say, he opened your eyes. What do you say? And he says, he is a prophet. Is that true? You see the point? Is that true? Is Jesus a prophet? So yes, but, right? More than a prophet. Jesus is a prophet. He comes to speak and bring the word of God, but that is woefully inadequate. He is a prophet. It's a step on the way. Verse 33, they're still pressing him, and he says he's a man from God. And in verses 35 to 38, Jesus comes to the man and says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, who is he, sir? And Jesus says, it's me, right? And what does he say? Lord, I believe. Last week's text was the Jesus and the woman at the well, right, in that conversation, and her growing understanding of who Jesus is, resulting in faith. This is the same thing, somebody being confronted by Jesus and his growing understanding of who Jesus is, resulting in faith. That means sometimes be patient with people as they work their way there. Now, a couple closing thoughts. First one is this, all the miracles point to who Jesus is. You guys know that the Old Testament prophets did do miracles, but they do miracles in the name of God. Jesus just does miracles, right? There's a difference. And so the fact that Jesus does miracles says who he is. In fact, there's this funny verse in verse 32. The man says, nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. Now, here's what I want us to notice. He's right. The Old Testament is full of a lot of miracles, but never in the Old Testament is there a miracle of somebody having their sight restored. Not only is there no Old Testament examples of the restoration of sight, the Old Testament says that when the Messiah comes, the blind will receive their sight. Our Old Testament lesson this morning, Isaiah 42, said that, and also Isaiah 35:5 said, then will the eyes of the blind be opened. So Jesus is, guess what? The Messiah, right? This is the coming messianic age. So, big picture, the miracles say who Jesus is. But I want us to catch this. There's also the specifics of the miracle. So, people often say the miracles say who he is. Yes. But the miracle did something specific, and that miracle tells us something. What was this miracle? To give the man sight. So, he means physically and literally it's an event. But he also means it spiritually. What does it mean by spiritual sight? It means to know that Jesus is the Savior. That's what he gets. Now, a couple weeks ago I said these texts with Jesus and one person often have a punchline. This text has three punchlines. We're going to look at them real quick. First one is this. Jesus said to the man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, who is he? Tell me so I may believe. I want us to hear the words of Jesus specifically. He says, this is the punchline, you have now seen him. Get it? Right? Who did he heal? Blind man. The man couldn't see, and Jesus says, you now see him. Isn't that great? It's a punchline from Jesus. You've now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you. Again, he means literal sight, but also spiritual insight. It's a punchline. Next one is this. Jesus then says, "For judgment I've come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." And the Bible tells us many a time that when Jesus comes, a lot of things are going to be topsy-turvy. Many right at the top will become the bottom, and the bottom will become the top. And oftentimes the world says that success is God's blessing, or maybe you're just smarter than everybody. But the Bible's very clear. No matter how successful you are, if you don't know who Jesus is, that's blindness. Right? That's the central thing. That's the most important question. Who is Jesus? And you might not have much. By the way, if you have a ton, if you have a lot and you know Jesus, good. But if you don't have much and you know Jesus, that's sight. That's what he says. Now, last thing, the Pharisee says, "What? Are we blind too?" And he says, "What? If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." He's saying, their question implies that they think of themselves as insightful people, but they don't get who he is. Right? So he's saying they think, like Nicodemus a couple weeks ago, they think they're going to be saved by their religious practices, and Jesus is saying it's all about knowing who he is. And they claim to be men of insight, but because they don't know him, their sin remains. So this is where Jesus stands. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, God's answer to what we need. And what does he want us to do? He wants us to see it, right? He wants us to see that. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.